sunshine, scattered showers around during the day, the high 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 80 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Get that door closed back there. We'll go ahead and start. Everybody in? Okay. We'll have Coach begin with an opening statement, and then we'll have time for a few questions. Coach, whenever you're ready.
Yeah. All right. Had some opportunities to get back in the game there. Name of the game is that we can't be hesitant early on. Okay, we got to start faster. In all ways, yes, I know we went down and scored first drive, pieced some plays together, and found a way to put it in the end zone. But just the next couple series, both sides of the ball, we got to do a better job. And we had opportunities there in the second half, but we gave them life. We gave them hope and confidence in the first half there. And then what it does is it puts you in a spot where you got to be perfect. You know, you're playing from behind, and you got to be perfect. And, you know, the stress on the guys to make every play becomes greater and greater. And, you know, I choose to believe we got a good football team. But, you know, we can't play on our heels. Like, we're not going to be what we think we can be, what we want to be. If that's the case. And so, again, that falls on everyone. I don't just point the finger at the players. You know, gave the I know the deep both sides of the ball. I mean, you kind of know what you're going to see, but going into the game. But you know, with new coordinators, but we gotta, you know, we talked in the locker room. There's no excuse about what happened. We step on the football field. They step on the football field, and we gotta play ball. We gotta play our style of ball. And you know, last year isn't this year. And it's going to be an uphill climb for us, but you can't think of it in the big scope of things. You got to focus on the moment, and the next moment is what happens tomorrow. And we'll find out. You know, we've talked all along about the chemistry on this team, and talked about how close we are, and how hard we've worked, doing a lot of the right things. But we'll find out. We'll find out if that sticks.
Thanks, Coach. Chase, why don't you go ahead and get started for life?
Coach, can you give us any sort of an update on Ryan Williams?
Yeah, he got a concussion.
Okay.
You got a concussion.
Yeah, they had over 200 yards on the ground. There's some improvements made, but why do you think they were able to have the success they did?
Yeah, I mean, you knew going in with the quarterback runs, it was going to be a challenge. He did a nice job, I thought, in the first half of keeping some drives alive, even on passing downs, ones that weren't called runs. You know, they did a nice job getting going sideline to sideline. A lot of things with those fly sweeps that, you know, we worked on, prepared for. You know, guys got to get, you get one-on-one, you get in space, and you got to find a way to get them on the ground. You got to, you know, use your leverage, and you got to find ways to trust your buddies around you that they're in pursuit. And they were piecing together first downs. They kept on the field, and they hit the explosive, you know, down the sideline in the first drive. You know, and they're going to make plays, too. And I can live with that, but we got to respond. And, you know, just coming out in the second half, I thought we settled in other than the one play. And it really felt third quarter going into the fourth quarter. I thought defensively we kind of got our feet underneath of us, had a kind of an idea of what they're really trying, the rhythm of what they do offensively and how, you know, how we call plays. And, you know, they do some funky things with the snap count and all that kind of stuff. And it kind of keeps our guys kind of wondering what's next. And not in our own rhythm. I think we got through that after the first half. But then, you know, we give them the run, we give them the play, and we kind of let them out with the penalty at the end, you know, the late hit. And, you know, we can't live in the gray area. We've talked about that all season long. We can't live in the gray area. It isn't just about that play. It's other things, you know, that we got to do, but that certainly adds to it.
For All right, Charlie.
You guys had seven drives that ended in Florida State territory that you only came to points three times. What kind of led to you guys being unable to finish?
Yeah, that's probably what I know from a frustration standpoint, that's the thing that is frustrating. And so, you know, you win the game and you look at those and those drives and you're saying, hey, there's first downs that you're piecing together, you're giving yourself chances. But when you lose the game, you look at it and you got to understand that there's got to be a competitive stamina. You know, it was a long drive, the first one, and it was hard work. You know, you had to execute, you had to make some big plays, and you did it. Now you got to go back out there and you got to do it again. You got to stack play after play after play. And we'd have a negative play or that missed opportunity. There were some opportunities out there that we either didn't give ourselves a chance to make or just missed. And so, not going to live in regret. We got to go fix it and be better because of it and evaluate the film and move on.
Katie?
What did you see from Ty in his first start, having some success but also facing some adversity?
Yeah, he's got to just trust his reads and just cut it loose sometimes. Just let it fly. You know, he can make the throws. Just let it fly and, throw on rhythm, throw on time. I might have met a time or two where they got in his face a little quick. That's going to happen. That's football. But just let it fly. And then, just some decision making there in certain critical moments. That's the things he's going to learn from. He's given everything he has. It's where, I know he's. In the locker room, wanting and wishing that there was some things he would have done different, but there are other guys too. So we got to catch the ball for him once in a while. We got to, it's a full team sport. It's a whole offensive unit that has to move up the ball up and down the field. The quarterback's the trigger man, but everyone's got to do their part to help the guy out.
Back over to left, Colin.
Hey, Kalen. We saw a lot of rotation, a lot of freshmen coming in. Use this opportunity to, rotate in, guys like Caleb Edwards, London Simmons. Did you see they earned the opportunity, or what was kind of the reason behind playing so many freshmen, I guess?
Yeah, at tight end, Caleb's the next guy up. It's really what it's about. So you got Josh, and Danny's been down again here the last a little bit. You go through the depth chart, had another ding or two in the tight end room that pulled some guys out for some plays, and some guys that have been out during camp, Marshall and a little bit limited. So that's where we're at in the depth chart there. And so, there's going to be young guys. It's what the world we're in right now, And so we got some older guys, and then all of a sudden, there's a gap, and younger guys got to step on the field and play. We go down the depth chart further on the defensive tackle interior list, and Lennon's done some nice things as a freshman for us in practice and some consistency there. We trust him. He got to go out there and getting thrown to the wolves, whatever you want to call it. That was certainly the case, but that's where we're at, the rotation.
Finish up with Mike.
What would you say changed from the running game after the first drive? It was 55 yards in the first drive, finished 87.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the runs in the first half or the first quarter, the first drive. I feel like they were very similar to some of the ones that we had in the fourth quarter, as far as like the holes and the seams and getting through the first level. I think there were hard yards in the first quarter that we did have. We were able to stay ahead of the chains and continue to do that, and then the game kind of going into the third quarter for sure, you're trying to be patient, but those possessions are counting down on you. But I thought we did a good job staying committed to it as we went into the fourth quarter there. Again, we hitting some plays up the middle. So there needs to be a better consistency. We didn't have any explosives. We didn't have, that I can think of, any explosives like we need to have. It's hard to put drives together, as we saw, when you don't have chunk yardage plays. They hit their explosives at times, the reverses and things like that. The ball
in the draw. Doors open at 7 and the bell rings at 8 at Two Dimes on the Strip on Thursday, September 11th. Grab your tickets now on Eventbrite by searching New Era Wrestling. Use promo code RADIO for 20% off.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation.
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation.
Easy and stress-free. Tuscaloosa Dodge, Mazda, and Mercedes-Benz. Three great dealerships. One promise. Your car, your way in Tuscaloosa today.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon, the sky partially sunny. A few spots could see a shower through the evening hours. The high today, 86. Tonight's low, 66. Tomorrow, warm again. A mixture of clouds and sunshine with scattered showers around. The high, 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 82 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge
with New York Giants legend
and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC. Welcome into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We just heard from head coach Kalen DeBoer post-game. I know you guys probably are sick of that, but I wanted to get that in there because I know we hadn't obviously had a chance to listen to it here on the show. If you guys keep up with me and the work that I do a post-game show, the official post-game show on the Crimson Tide Sports Network alongside Gray Robertson. So we listened to it there, and I definitely talked about my feelings and thoughts on this 31-17 defeat to the Florida State Seminoles. But it's our first chance to do it here on the Miller's Edge. So this is what we got planned for you guys today. We're definitely going to dive into what transpired Saturday, right? I know a lot of people have a bunch of questions, right? I had a tweet yesterday just showing just one play and kind of give my thoughts there. And a lot of people were responding to it. So I'm sure you guys definitely want to hear my overall take on this game. We're going to dive into it. We're going to dive into really what happened, what we need to do moving forward, and the good, the bad, the ugly, kind of like what we used to call it in the film room. So without further ado, we might as well jump in there. Chase, I hadn't really talked to you. Well, we talked to you a good bit yesterday, but I don't know if we really dove into the game, but feel free to jump in whenever you want. But again, just to recap, we all know, right, what happened, right? We went to Tallahassee on the road, first game of the year, week one, everybody fired up about this matchup, and unfortunately, we laid an egg, man. And really, it kind of resembled a lot of what we saw last season, going on the road, not performing well, looking flat, couldn't get things going, getting behind, and then not looking like we had any type of sense of how to figure it out. And look, I'm just going to say this, man. Not trying to use this as an I told you so moment, but for all my folks that listen to our show regularly, if you're new, welcome in. I know we have a lot of new folks now, but just know I talked about this last week now, and I clipped it up, but I'm not going to play it right now. But to paraphrase, I said going into this matchup, I felt that there was just a recipe for Florida State that gave them a lot to be confident in, right? I talked about bringing in Gus Malzahn. I talked about bringing in Tommy Castellanos. Like, when I tell you guys, I watch tape, man, I watch tape. I'm not one of these people that just, like, regurgitate articles and look at numbers and say, oh, well, PFF says we have the number one defensive line in the country. PFF says, guys, those guys don't even watch. They pull analytics and numbers, man. I'm a former player. I watch tape. I went back and I watched Nebraska. I went back and I watched UCF. I remember and had playing experience against Gus Malzahn. Hell, we brought Reuben Foster on here to talk about it too. You just knew if you knew, you knew. You knew it was going to be a challenge. That being said, I still thought we would show up and we would play good. I just thought it would be, a good back and forth, at least early on. But from everything that I had seen from this Alabama football team throughout the summer, throughout the spring, I was confident, Chase. Why? I thought the offensive line was looking better in camp. I thought that Ty had looked smooth and, obviously we know he throws a very catchable ball. He had great command in the offense. And I thought, with his leadership and the toughness, right, the ability to run the football, right, going back to the scrimmages, like the first scrimmage of fall camp, we ran the football very effectively, especially early on. We talked, you heard Coach DeBoer talk about that, right? Defense was having trouble stopping our offense at first scrimmage, which kind of, had some concerns for me with the defensive, but offensively, I'm like, man, offense, we're going to be that team again this year, right? Obviously, know about our receivers. So that being said, I still thought we would go down there and take care of business, but I knew going back, I said, there were some challenges in this game that I knew would come up and we were going to have to overcome them, right? Another one of those being our history of playing on the road under Coach DeBoer is not great. And I mentioned that. Did I not, Chase? I brought up. I said, that's something really important. Last season, we were flat out bad outside of LSU and I guess Wisconsin. We played terrible on the road, right? And everybody, for all the people that hated Jalen Milroe, I'm not going to do this right now. I really should, but I'm not going to do this. For all the people that made it seem like, oh, well, it was a matter of quarterback. It's all Milroe's fault. And I kept saying for the last 8 months, you don't know football if you're blaming it on one guy, right? There's a whole bunch of other issues that are glaring, right? I've mentioned that for the past year, right? That you have to fix. It's not just a quarterback thing. I talked about that. And I'm going to get to this, right? Ty, and some people are a little too critical of Ty in this game. Ty did not play perfect, but he didn't play that bad either. If you really go back and watch, he did some good things in the game. Definitely has a lot to build off. I mentioned that he probably was going to be a little shaky week one. We know that. But still, his performance, you can live with that. Honestly, you can live with that. He just didn't have the help he needed. And that's what I kept trying to tell people when they immediately would jump on Milroe. They immediately jump on four. I'm like, guys, when your offensive line's not helping you, the receivers, right, failing to get separation, dropping passes. I'm praying Ryan Williams is all right with the concussion, but I mean, he's supposed to be your best player on offense. He didn't show up to play from the get-go, right? I mean, like, Ty didn't have much help. What was he supposed to do, right? I mean, he made some nice throws in the game. Really, his biggest issues, right, was a couple decisions there, his timing, right, a little hesitant, which, again, is week one. He's going to be fine. Not worried about that, right? We he will be fine. So if you're being harsh on him, man, relax a little bit again. The only reason I brought up Milroe, I know you guys don't want to hear that, but it's just to prove my point that if the other factors aren't working, it does not matter who's playing the quarterback position. That's the only reason I brought that up. So hopefully for all you people that are hard-headed and didn't want to see that, hopefully now you understand football is a team game. It's not just one person. Let's move on. Defensively, this is where I was the most disappointed, Chase. I'm not going to lie to you, Chase. I've watched this damn game probably about 3 times now. I spent the whole week, y'all yesterday watched. I'm working out, watching it last night, watching it. It is not like I'm just watching it because I'm just that mad. No, again, that's the football player in me, man. I just love watching tape. The more you watch, the more you see, right? On the TV copy, you see things quick and you don't get all the replays. So there's only so much you can tell. When you go back and watch, you really start seeing more and more and you start diving in to the weeds of it. And I'm just going to be honest with you, Chase. Defensively, that might have been one of the worst tapes I've ever watched of Alabama football. And I'm not saying that to be harsh. And it's not even really so much a matter of talent. It's more of a matter of effort, toughness, pride. That was one of the most disappointing films I had. And it got worse every time I watched it because the more I watched it, I'm like, what are we doing, man? And you guys know me. I try to be as fair as possible. And again, I'm never going to sit here and trash our guys. I would never do that. But that's why I'm using the word. I'm disappointed. Because a lot of the things that you can control, they did not take care of. And that disappointed me. Hearing all offseason, sitting at SEC Media Day saying the disrespect will be addressed as if, like, we're like mafia bosses and we're about to, like, do, like, and then we show up and play like that? Nah, man. Nah, that's not Alabama defense, man. That's not Alabama. I mean, we had Reuben Foster on the show Friday. You guys know how he. Sorry, I think my mic went out for a second. Chase, you still got me?
Yeah, I'm still here with you. Christian, can you hear me? Hey, Christian, can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry. My cable was acting weird. We should be clear now. You guys got me? Check, check. You got me, Chase?
Yeah, we're rocking and rolling.
All right, my bad, man. Something told me that cable was iffy, and I hopefully got it fixed. All right, so we're back. All right, thank you guys in the chat. Tell me that. All right, good. All right, so where do we leave off? All right, we had Ryan. We had Ruben on the show. Those guys, right, that, like, you just don't allow certain things to happen. Let me give you some numbers and explain a little bit of what I'm talking about. 230 yards rushing. What did I talk about last week, guys, leading up to this game? What does Gus Malzahn want to do? He wants to run the football. He wants to make it. He dresses it up. I told you, I laid out the blueprint. Did I not? He wants to dress it up. What did I tell you? They're going to run a bunch of jet sweep action. Sometimes they'll give it. Sometimes it turns into a quarterback keep. You just have to have good discipline, both with your eyes, with your just alignment, assignment. You have to be ready to play football. If not, you're dead on arrival. I talked about it. And that's exactly what happened. What else did I say needed to be there, Chase? Perimeter tackling, perimeter support, right? What were the big plays in the game? Where did they hit? Reverses on the perimeter. No support there. Go back and watch the effort in the tackling by our secondary. You can't win football games like that, Chase. Everything I talked about is what we saw. Is it not, Chase? Am I lying?
Verbatim.
So if you guys, I'm telling you, if you missed last week, go back and watch, was it? I think it was Thursday's show. And again, I'm not trying to use this as an I told you so moment. It's just, I'm just trying to explain, guys. Football, man, if you know ball, you know ball. And at the end of the day, you just got to go out there and play. You got to be prepared. And I'll be honest with you. I don't know if it was a matter of preparation. I don't know if it was just a matter of guys woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I don't know, Chase. Personally, I don't know. But what I do know is there's just so many things that we saw last year that we saw this year. Like, literally. Like, I mean, for example, we talked about the Vanderbilt game. You go back and watch that tape. Guys in the same gap. Matter of fact, I see this video right here. I'm going to put it up for you. I hope we don't get copyrighted. It shouldn't because it's an all 22 angle.
The perimeter runs, the dress multiple.
So it's just, even stuff like this, right? You go back and watch the Vanderbilt game, right? You got some zone read action right here in the red zone. He circles these three defenders. What did I talk about? All about discipline with your eyes, alignment, assignment, right? 42 right here. You're the quarterback player, man. It's as simple as this. You got a quarterback player, a dive player. And even so, even if they did, sometimes you trade responsibilities depending on the call. Sometimes that backer could be the quarterback player regardless. Doesn't matter who ends up really being it. This is what we saw all game last year against Vanderbilt. Two guys in the same gap doing the same damn thing. And you literally are out, your guys playing out of position, acting like they don't know what to do. Guys, this is a simple concept, right? This is just traditional zone read. Now, you get an arc block right here by the Y, which is normal. That happens. You ignore him. He arcs out. He's going to break. That's what I'm saying. Normally, this guy closes the gap. You sit in feather. We watch them do the drill in practice. Now, I pull it terrible, right? I mean, he does squeeze like he's supposed to. But, dude, way too much. Look at his eye.
Here.
Staring so much at the back. Dude, you're a quarterback player. I know you read the mesh. Play the damn quarterback.
Pull.
Bray's got to keep his leverage. I know the guy gets a hold on it, but you have to, like, it's just these little details, guys. It's not a matter of being, like outplayed up based off of talent. It's just all these small details add up. The clip I posted yesterday, man, I talked about the, like, those mug looks. I'll be honest with you. I mean, we barely did that. We might have done that in like short yardage stuff, but we were still like, we were mugged up. Typically, our backers are like shooting that stuff. you know, like the technique they're teaching. I'll be honest. I'm not sure what that. I don't even know if I have an answer for you guys, man. It's like they mug and then they hop back to read. And I don't know if it's trying to create confusion or what. But to me, like, that's what me and Ryan were talking about. QD had mentioned it. We were talking about it on the show. Sometimes you try to get cute and do all this new stuff, man. Bro, you just got to have backers, tan alignments, or whatever, bro. Hit gaps, bro. And that leads me to my other point, watching this tape. You go watch the way our defense played and then watch even how Florida State played in this game defensively, or just go watch how we used to play. We were always the aggressors. Go watch Earl Little Jr., right, who transferred from Alabama. Matter of fact, the coaching staff at the time, I don't think they're very high on him. Where they were playing him, I think he was out of position. But anyway, you see how he flies down, he reads, he reacts, and he goes and attacks. That is how you play defense. You read, react, and you attack. You don't catch. Right? This whole game, the second level, third level, everybody was catching. And I know the defensive line needed to play much better, 100%. But if you really go back and watch it, the linebacker group, I was really disappointed, man. Guys catching blocks, just waiting. And then the secondary, it's just like they're just catching the receivers coming and attacking them. They're just waiting. They're catching, just looking to see who else makes a tackle. Everybody on this defense, like we talk about the swarm defense, everybody's just looking around, seeing who else is going to make the play. Man, you got to strike. You got to go. Fire your guns and go. You can't play hesitant like that. And I think part of it, Chase, was, again, they're overthinking all the stuff that Gus Malzahn's throwing at them. And that's why I said going into the game, you have to be prepped for that. Just know your assignment and take care of your assignment. I think what I really think is happening, Chase, this philosophy of just like, you know, reading and reacting and playing, like that's all, it sounds cute, but I'll be honest with you. When everybody started to sit there and tell me like, oh, well, we needed to simplify. Coach Saban's too difficult. What did I keep telling you guys? There's a reason it's difficult, right? He's not just making stuff difficult just to challenge us like it's a school test. No, it's so you can defend every look and thing that the offense tries to throw at you, because it breaks it down into individual responsibility. All you got to do is go dominate your box. That's what me and Ruben just talked about, just dominate your box. Too many guys just looking for the football and not worrying about their assignment or what they need to be doing. The good news is, and I know I'm sounding like I'm just going on a rant. No, I'm just giving you guys a fair breakdown, right? And again, a disappointing one. I'm a former player, man. I mean, I take pride in this stuff. But I'll say this. It's correctable. That's the good news. You can fix some of this stuff. But I'll be honest with you. What worries me is, like, the physicality stuff, like that clip that I posted on our Twitter, and I'll pull it up real quick. I'll be honest with you, man. If guys are soft, man, they're soft. I don't know what more the coaches can do. I mean, coaches can challenge you. Coaches can try to yell at you and pull it out of you. But at the end of the day, man, if you're soft, bro, you're soft. And this clip right here, man, this is what I was talking about. You see the mug alignment right here by these backers. And it's 2nd and 10, right? Trust me, I know all about third down. Third down is a different story. I was the buck in our system. I mugged all the time. That's different. I'm talking about on running downs, right? They're mugged up. You see them, they're hopping out. Now, I will say this, and I didn't have time to tweet all this in one tweet. As a backer, you do read fullbacks, tight ends. You see them go across. I understand that. But here's even if that is the case, let me show you the end zone shot. You got two tackles both clogging up these A gaps. He should be playing this B gap right here, which he should be firing right now. Go blow his ass up. Third team, blow him up. Don't wait. Like, go attack. You see what's coming. Even if he is playing this guy and trying to fill over the top, who is going to be in this B gap? Because if it's covered three and you got a safety coming down or whoever's supposed to be, Bray's dropping out like he's seeing pass. He's dropping. That's what I'm saying, guys. It's just like little things that, like, these keys, man. Like, the guys have to read their keys better. There's another play early on. I'll try to pull it up in a little bit. It was I think they ran like that jet sweep. It was early in the game. They ran like a jet sweep to the boundary. Or at least they ran like sweep action, like jet action. Quarterback ends up keeping it. 20, Latham, he's a quarterback player. He pauses, which you're supposed to sit and feather. But then he turns and chases the arc blocks. I don't know if he thought he was dropping or what. He just, again, the guys just look confused out there. He turns and just runs sideways. Quarterback just running. I'm like, where are you going? You were the quarterback player. Like, who are you looking at? And then, like, you're just watching the secondary guy just sit there. like just like catching blocks and just looking. And then angles, pursuit angles. You watch a number of these clips, man. Like that one reverse. I know people have seen the clip of Bray. Look, I love Bray. Great kid, man. We had him on the show. I love him, man. But he's got to play more effort, man. If that clip showed up with Coach Saban, dude, he might not have dressed out next week, man. Just being honest with you, I'm telling you right now, he would not be with the ones the next week. And again, I'm not trying to take shots at him. I promise. I love the kid, but that's just how we roll, man. You playing with that's like a non-negotiable. Like, if you're going to screw up, that's fine. Do it fast, right? If you get, you know, you try to go in there and Duke gets the best of you, man, because you're playing good players, that's cool. We can live with that. We can't live with dudes walking and jogging around and waiting for other people to make plays. Can't happen. It can't happen, especially let alone here, man. This place was built, the foundation of this place was built on all those principles. They weren't just monikers or stuff we used to just say to sound cool. Like, we really lived that. Like, you could hear that. Like, you hear the passion, number one, in my voice right now. I know you hear it. You hear the passion when Reuben Foster comes on my show. You hear the passion when Ryan comes on the show. This shit ain't in a game. And, like, I know, like, people, I think it's like, oh, it's like, nah, bro. Like, the people that really built this family, like, bro, this means a lot to us. And so to watch this as a former player, man, that John hurts, man. That's not how we play football here, man. Like, I'm like, literally, guys, let me go back to this. It's this clip. So that's one thing. We talked about the backers. Now watch this part. Come on, man. This is a true freshman running back. I get he's 218 pounds, whatever the Joe Tessitore was talking about. Waiting. That's what I'm talking about. Corner. Just catching a block, right? Bro, y'all remember Marlon Humphrey? You remember how he used to run up and attack? Right? That, like, you have to attack. Look at Seven is jogging. What is he jogging for? Like, everybody's just waiting on people to look at Three. Come on, Three. Again, I'm not trying to call these guys out individually, but, like, come on. Like, what is that, like, effort, man? Like, I know he's a bigger guy than you, but come on, man. Like, bro, you see Earl Little running in there. And that's Florida State. We're Alabama. Like, what is that? Look at our guys just getting pinballed around right now by a true freshman running back. Ducking. I mean, like, again, respectfully, like, linebackers, like, playing two-hand touch. Guys, like, come on, man. Like, come on, man. Again, and I promise I'm not trying to just, like, call these guys out individually. I mean, I have no problem. Like, I can go up there and talk to them if they want me to. I'm not doing this for the media side of things. I'm doing this because, again, I'm passionate about it. And people are asking, what happened in the game? This is what happened. And it wasn't just this play, man. I mean, there's a number of plays. Let me go back and get back to some of my notes, man, because I know we got to get to a timeout here in a second. Tommy Castellanos, again, he ran for 78 yards. We talked about it going into the game. We knew it was going to be a challenge to stop a guy like that. He talked the talk, but he damn sure walked the walk. I tip my hat to the kid. 9 of 14, very efficient passing the ball. I know people are talking about, like, that one, the Squirrel White. Look, man, they ran Seattle 4 verts. We were in man coverage. They hit DeJuan Lee over the top. Safety, you know, was you know, kind of in a little bit of a bind because, again, it's 4 verts. He's got to kind of play, you know, both, right? I know somebody was like, oh, why is a true freshman lined up on a redshirt scene? Hey, man, if you're out on the field, you're out on the field. There's no, oh, well, don't put the freshman. No, man, that dude, he's fine to be out there. That's just probably not his skill. I mean, a small, quick guy like Squirrel White, that's probably, you know, a little bit more of a weakness for DeJuan Lee. That's going to be a tough one. It is what it is, right? But good play, good throw by Tommy Castellanos. I bring that up to say, really, I mean, it just, they made a play right there. That's going to happen. You can live with those plays. But the stuff that I'm showing you guys, nah, man, you can't do that. But again, the 230 yards rushing, I mean, that's your pride as a defense. In week one, man, you give up 230 yards on the ground, that's embarrassing. Versus ours, we rushed for 74 yards. But get this, guys, jumping back to the offense real quick. We started the game that first drive. I'm not going to lie. That was probably one of the best drives of Alabama football I've seen in quite some time. We were physical. We were running, you know, some inside zones, duo, whatever. good double teams, climbing to second level, right, getting good knockback, right, controlled the clock. That drive was 8 minutes and 50 seconds. We took up a whole chunk of the first quarter with that drive alone, ended in a touchdown, and it was very efficient, right? We committed to the running game. That drive, right, set up play action. I think it was like second play, hit Bernard for maybe like 20 yards. Touchdown, hit Quavis, right? Little play action. Like that, like to me, I was like, bro, that is that's vintage Alabama football. That's what I thought we could expect to see with Ryan Grubb coming back. What happened after that, guys? Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. We completely just got rid of the running game. I know Coach DeBoer in his interview had mentioned that he thought they still were doing some of the same stuff, but it obviously wasn't effective. I don't know if you want to sum it up as, you know, Florida State's defensive line adjusted, they or their defense in general. Tip your hat to those guys as well. And Tony White, those guys, they play defense. Those dudes are flying to the football. They're playing aggressive, right? Outside of that first drive, man, I mean, they were on the attack. And that's how you play. Again, led by Earl Little, former D. I mean, like, the way he was playing, that's how we should be playing. That's how you play football. I'm running in with reckless abandonment. I'm just like, boom. See, when he sees it, he was hitting it. But anyway, back to our offense. Outside of that, guys, we ran for, depending on how you sum it up, I guess if you include sacks or whatnot, maybe 23 more yards for the rest of the game. 55 rushing yards on that first drive, not first quarter, first drive. Rest of the game, around 23 or so. That's unacceptable, guys. Ty dropped back 43 times. He had 43 attempts. And I get that number is going to be inflated because we're playing from behind. But that was not the, that wasn't the recipe going into this game. I know for a fact it wasn't. Week one, first year starter. I mean, the dude was talking about getting advice on managing nerves and stuff. But again, no, it's all normal. We knew he was going to have a little bit of jitters. That's normal, man. It means you care. But he drops back 43 times. And to be fair, I forgot the stat, what it was, but I do know when he was clean, when he had a clean pocket, he was great. Threw over two touchdowns. I think his completion percentage was probably in the 70s at least. When he faced pressure, three sacks, fumble, and I can't remember the specific numbers, but they were bad. And so, again, that goes back to my point, what we've been talking about. All the people that were just blaming everything on, you know, one position last year, I kept saying, I don't care who it is. If that's not cleaned up, and that's why the biggest key, what did I say the biggest key for this year, Chase, was offensive line play. If yep. Our offensive line play, yeah, exactly. That's what I've been saying. Our offensive line is going to be the key. You can win a lot of football games with Ty. Ty is a great quarterback. He was fighting, made some mistakes, should have ran for it on that fourth down or whatever it was to convert, right? Tried to just throw it, made a bad throw. It's fine. You know, it's, you know, bad play in the game. I know he wants that play back, but it, look, again, first time starting, he was fine. He's not the problem. The problem is the same stuff that's been the problem the past couple of years that we've been saying, but all these ignorant people wanted to put it on another guy. Doesn't matter. If the offensive line is not protected, it doesn't matter who's back there. If the receivers aren't running good routes, getting separation, dropping the football, doesn't matter. And I'll end with this real quick before we hit this break and we'll come back. I'll let my dad, he just hopped on here. I'll pass it to him because, I mean, I'm out of breath, Chase. I mean, this has been a passionate one. And I'm going to bring up some tape too, so don't go anywhere, guys. We're just getting started. But I think, again, the most disappointing thing was the effort and the toughness. Guys just looking flat. I wasn't at the game. Damian was. Damian straight up said, walking by the sideline, just seemed flat. Guys, that's the same crap we dealt with last year, man. Like, I just think for whatever reason, whether it's a generation or whatever, I don't know. But we just lack mental toughness, man. You know what happened? Like, when we used to go down, dude, it was like a switch flipped. And I'm talking about we're on fire. We're fighting each other. I mean, when these teams, like the past year or so, when this team, when we start trailing, everybody just like ducks their head and just like gets it, like it starts like pouting. I don't know what the problem is, man. Like, but that's really the most disappointing thing to me, really, is the things that could have been controlled, Chase. And that was effort and toughness, physicality. All that hype to go down here, man, handle business. I mean, this guy was talking crazy. If it was one of my defenses, we would have took his damn head off his shoulders from the jump. I didn't see any. I mean, outside of like, you know, them trying to hit him late a little bit, like nobody really even tried to. Everybody's, I mean, and kudos to him. I know he's elusive, but man, let me, and I will throw this in here. I get Tim Keenan was out. I don't know how much of a difference that really would have made. Definitely would have helped, obviously, and I talked about it on the show last week. I think Beeman's, you know, a good player. I think he could fill in, but who's behind him? Well, we found out a true freshman, Lennon Simmons, three-star guy from Mississippi. Stars don't matter, but just for some context. So we were a little underpowered, you know, in the trenches. But I'll be honest, again, you go back and watch, trench play was not good, and it was pretty bad. But, again, I mean, really linebackers might have been even worse. And they didn't, I mean, I know, look, Deontay Lawson, I don't think he's healthy, man. I don't think he's fully healthy. So I'm trying to give him a little more grace from the tape, but the tape was not very good. And really, no one just had any of them. But he had a bust on that wheel route, right? They brought the dude in, quick wheel down the field, I think about 50, 60-yard play. You just can't have those plays and expect to win the game. And then last but not least, no turnovers, right? I guess if you want to count the muffed punt, other than that, we didn't force any turnovers. Just a recipe to pretty much not win a football game. So that's pretty much what I got. And I'll be honest, I completely abandoned my whole list. I mean, I've got a whole list of things. Oh, I forgot this one. Pass rush. We've been talking about this. Who's going to step up and be those guys on the edge? I said, you know, Quay Russo, I trust him, but in this matchup, I mean, especially going against a guy like Tommy Castellanos, you got to have quick twitch edge guys. We don't have them. I know everybody's like, oh, LT Overton. LT Overton's 275 pounds. Jamarian Latham, 265. You guys saw what happened when he was responsible for the quarterback. That's why I kept saying, guys, those are concerns me and my dad have been talking about. A lot of people just kept overlooking him because all they cared about was, oh, Jalen's gone. We got Ty Simpson in there. And we kept saying, guys, are you seeing everything else? I mean, there's a lot of other stuff to pay attention to. Which makes you, Chase, for all these other, not us, because again, we call it how we see it, right? Obviously. For all these other people that have been like saying all this stuff and everything was all perfect, are y'all going to hold them accountable for their takes? I'm just curious. But that's none of my business. All right, we got to hit a timeout. I'm going to let my dad give him the floor. He's got plenty to say. I promise. Let me read. Don't hit me with the, I hope you guys don't come at me like a Greg or somebody with those people. I promise. The passion comes from a place of love, man. And that's the only reason I'm not being hard on these. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not calling for jobs. I'm not doing that. Again, I just told you guys, a lot of this can be cleaned up. Some of it I'm not too sure about, but a lot of it can be. And I have faith and confidence that they will work to do that. But I have to call it how I see it because that's, it is what it is, man. It's tough love. And I want to challenge these guys. I want them to do better. Because that wasn't the standard Saturday, man. That wasn't the standard. That being said, we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling. Let my dad talk a little bit. I know we got a whole bunch of people that want to get on the phone lines. It might be 10, 15 minutes. I'm just going to give you guys a heads up because we got to let him talk. And then we'll get to you guys because I know you guys want to chime in. But feel free. We are live on the YouTube stream. Check us out on YouTube at The Miller's Edge. We got the comment section. I'll try to respond to you guys during the break here. So if you guys want to just do that, feel free to do that as well. We'll keep chatting, keep talking about it. And then at the end of it, we're going to flush it. We're going to look ahead, talk about what needs to be done moving forward in this matchup that we got. First home game this Saturday. So all that coming up right here on The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Sport Experts. Quick timeout.
Offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation.
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
Making it a great spot to catch the game or enjoy a night out with friends. Grandstand, located on 4th Street and Temerson Square, downtown.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house.
And when you call, you'll actually talk to me. 205-800-8000. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We only got a few minutes here, so I'm going to wait to let you really get into your thing because I know we're about to go right to this top of the hour break. But we're looking at this play, talking about, you know, playing zone read and those basic principles. Again, you got a quarterback player, a dive player. There's not a pitch here, right? But you do have this alley player in Bray. Got to keep your perimeter. And again, just knowing when you're playing these guys, man, number one, know your alignment, assignment, all that stuff. And two, just do your job. That's all it takes. Now, again, you got to end up making a play on Tommy. I'm not saying 42 can necessarily outrun him, but don't put yourself behind the eight ball. When you get too influenced by that dive, you fall back on the dive.
You got to always know. Coach always told us, know who you are and know who that guy is, right? So you know he's trying to get to the outside. So don't, if that guy, the influencer right there, the Scott Bray, don't go running down in there. Don't. I said this last week. Playing the option, the principal going to say, whether it's spread option like this or whether it's, you know, a true option. You know who you have, right? You know from the start you got the quarterback. Why are you even stepping down inside? Play your block, square up, head up. If he blocks you, you still want to play him straight up, head up, and be able to defeat that block. But all he's doing is influence you so that you are getting nosy and look inside. And when you're talking about playing a quarterback with this type of speed, it don't take but one bad step, and you are what we call outflanked, whether that's in the run game or you outflanked in the passing game. Right here, he's outflanked. You're not going to make that play. And that's what I'm saying. It's disciplined football. That is not about athleticism. That's just all about discipline, right? 100%. That's it.
Even looking at Bray here, like, you have to make sure you have outside leverage. The teeth of your defense, see these free runners? If he just forces him, then he has no choice to even just cut up right there and Deontay tackles him right there on the, 8-yard line. You know what I mean? Like, football is a game of small details, man. That's why they say it's a game of inches for a reason.
Look at Bray's hat.
Yeah, his hat's, he got the wrong leverage. Hat's inside. That's, yeah.
He's beat. He's done. You're done. I mean, it's sometimes when you're talking about this option game, guys, it's little things that get you in a lot of trouble, right? And I'm sure they worked on this over and over and over again. But you have to play with discipline in place, but yet at the same time, be instinctive. And so it's kind of just disheartening, man. I mean, watching this tape, watching the game, it was just disheartening, and it was embarrassing. If I'm a former Bama player, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that you got your tail kicked once again, something that I have been saying since last year. They got the tails kicked in a place where Alabama have dominated for a decade and a half. One of the things that separated Alabama from anybody else in the country was their play in the trenches. And that has to be addressed, whether it be recruiting, whether it be transfer portal, whether it be a coach getting out of there and finding somebody that knows what they're doing, whatever it is, but it has to be addressed.
Absolutely. And we're going to continue to address it again. We got to hit this top of the hour break real quick. But if you're with us on the YouTube channel, don't worry. I got some tape pulled up during the timeouts. We'll keep breaking this down here. Radio listeners, hang in there. We got a quick timeout. We come back. We'll keep on rolling. But we got to pay the bills, right? Got to go to the commercials on schedule. So top of the hour break right here. We come back. We keep on rolling right now on the Miller's Edge. Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
In Sunday night's college football matchup of teams in the preseason top 10 rankings, Miami beat Notre Dame 27-24 on a 47-yard field goal with about a minute to go. Carson Beck threw two touchdown passes in the second quarter. 13th-ranked South Carolina beat Virginia Tech 24-11 in Atlanta. To baseball, the Dodgers won on a walk-off solo homer by pinch hitter Will Smith, 5-4 over Arizona. San Diego lost 7-2 at Minnesota, so the Padres now two games back of first place LA in the NL West. The Braves won the Sunday night ball game with a run in the eighth and a two-run homer in the ninth, 3-1 at Philadelphia. The Phillies agreed to a minor league deal with pitcher Walker Buehler, recently cut by Boston. Miami beat the Mets 5-1 in New York, Cincinnati over the Cardinals 7-4. NASCAR win at the Southern 500 for Chase Briscoe. Tyler Reddick was second. IndyCar season finale to Joseph Newgarden.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. And now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
back into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Sport Experts. Who is the Good Feet Store, if you're wondering? Well, they're responsible for those arch supports that are designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain. Heart pain, like heartache, I don't know if it necessarily does that, but in terms of lower back pain, knee pain, all that good stuff, they take care of it. So check them out. Midtown Village in Tuscaloosa is where you can find them. Walk-ins are welcome, but you can always go to their website. We got a bunch of people on YouTube listening, probably from all over the place. Well, the good thing is there's Good Feet stores all over the country, goodfeet.com. Type in your zip code. You'll find the nearest location to you, but I'm telling you, these things are game changers. They're not your typical, you know, orthopedics or orthotics. You just throw them in your shoes and they're easy. It's easy as that, right? So make sure you guys check them out. The Good Feet store is where it's at. Take great care of me. If you're on your feet all day, nurses, teachers, construction workers, man, check these things out. I promise you. If you haven't heard of them, man, check them out now at goodfeet.com. Again, that is the Good Feet store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. And they are our presenting sponsor. So we got to always show some love to them. All right, we're back into our breakdown. Again, we're on the YouTube stream. So if you guys want to see the screen and what we're looking at, feel free to join us at the Miller's Edge. Completely free. Just ask you, you guys drop a like and subscription or subscribe. That's free as well. All right, so we're talking about this one in earlier plays. So go back. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I want to go. I really want to talk about what I about this game because. The listeners can't see what we're talking about. But again, let me just end what I was saying. With this defense, alignment and assignment, that has to be first. And what you saw right here, they got all out of position, outflanked. They have the gap control was terrible. Guys, it's two guys in one gap, which is always a problem. You know, and, you know, those were just mental errors. Was Florida State just physically more dominant? No. They just outsmart. That comes to coaching, which I'll get to here in my breakdown in just a moment. But let's go back to the game. Let me just say this, guys. It was embarrassing. It was the worst performance, especially by a defense, that I've seen out of Alabama in a long time. I'm talking about even Vanderbilt last year, Oklahoma, Michigan last year. This performance was abysmal and is unacceptable. And my point was this on Saturday when you and I was on. Yeah, players are held accountable and should be held accountable, but coaches ultimately are accountable. And coaches have been coaching this team now going on 2 years, right? And we are seeing the same mistakes. We are seeing lack of toughness. We are seeing bad tackling. We are seeing a spirit of, I don't even really care that much. I say all the time that players take on the personality of their coach. And what we see is a soft mentality by an Alabama defense that is ridiculous. I understand you can't keep going back to the standard and who they used to be, and blah, blah, blah. I get all of that. You hire a coach. You come in here to understand what that culture is. That culture should not change. The attitude of the program and how you go about your business and work should not change. So I hold these coaches 100% accountable. Yes, I'm going to say it. I don't think Kane Womack is the right person for this job, right? You know, we become sometimes like parents. Parents can become friends with their children. And when you become friends with your children, that means discipline sometimes becomes an issue. That means holding them accountable becomes an issue because they look at y'all's relationship like your friends. Same thing with coaches. If coaches are humble and always dapping up and feel like they got to be cool like the players, and then holding them accountable becomes a problem. I mean, nobody cared. Nobody was fired up. You talk about what Damian said. Nobody seemed to have a problem that this guy who was talking smack, what he was going to do, and nobody responded, right? We talked about going in the backyard and snatching the heart out of when we talked with Ruben, how, and you said, we love going on the road. We love going to play somebody with their fans and seeing the tears and then the heads down at the end of the game, right? No more. This Alabama team is no more, in my opinion. It's dead and gone. It's dead and gone based on history, based on Nick Saban. This identity of Kalen DeBoer's team is soft. This identity of Alabama today is soft, lack of toughness, lack of discipline. I'm just being real. That's a problem with coaching. And if coaches sit back and allow this stuff to continue to take place, I'm putting dudes on the bench. I'm putting a young guy. If I'm going to lose, I'd rather lose with dudes that are fighting their tails off. I'd rather lose with dudes that are giving everything that they got. I'd rather lose with dudes who are getting penalties for late hits. At least they want to lay the wood on somebody's tail. I'd rather lose with that. And right now, the mindset, I love Kalen, great dude. But, man, this identity that they have up to this point with, what, 13, 14 games in now maybe, is soft, undisciplined, lack of toughness, mental errors, out of position. I mean, I can go on with different adjectives to describe what I see. Can these things be fixed? Some of them can. But let me just tell you this. From a defensive standpoint, I don't think so, because you don't have quick twitch edge guys that can run. They can go sideline to sideline. You don't have guys that can beat tackles like a drum on third and longs. You don't have guys that tackle well in space, right? You don't have a defensive line that's pushing the pocket or changing the line of scrimmage. I got a problem with that. That right there to me is a talent issue. That goes to recruiting. Now, all the celebratory things that you hear when every time they get a guy, oh, he's a 4-star and he's a 5-star and blah, blah. But where is this translating on the field? Where is it? It's not there. That, to me, is a problem. I'm not saying Kalen DeBoer needs to lose his job right now, but here's what I do know. I know if I'm the head coach, and then ultimately it falls on me. Right? It's like I'm the pastor of 1334 Church, and I told them yesterday, the leadership falls on me. If I let assistant pastors, if I let worship team, you know, and I talk about Nick Saban all the time, even in my ministry, I expect from myself and I expect from you to operate in the spirit of excellence, everybody. Whether you're on the worship team, whether you're a trustee, whether you're a youth pastor, whether you whatever, if you own leadership, there is a demand of excellence, period. And if you don't get that, and if I don't get that, then it's up to me to make said necessary changes so that my team goes out and perform the way I want them to perform. If I got to go find a coach, whatever, make decisions. And sometimes you have to make decisions within the year. You can't wait till the end of the year. I mean, so what you're doing, you're losing faith in your fan base. It's slowly every week leaving you. And now everybody in America, bro, I'm just telling you, you know, I'm around coaches and players, and nobody respects Alabama no more like they used to be. I'm sorry. Nobody does. Nobody's afraid. Nobody's going to say, oh, man, we got Alabama. You think South Carolina's afraid of it? No.
It's the opposite.
They think they're better. They think they're better than that. They think they got more talent, and they do on defense. They play with freshman linebackers. They lost 6-7 guys on defense. You see how they stuffed Virginia Tech yesterday?
One of them is a former Alabama linebacker, Justin Okoronkwo, who transferred, right?
Yeah. It's amazing how he's playing. Where's that? Because Clayton White, the defensive coordinator, understands. Isn't it amazing how Little played? He was at Alabama, and his name was called by every play defensively. Because the coach knew where to put him to where he can excel. One of the great things about coaches is identifying the skill set of the talent that they have and then organize or devise a scheme where said player can ball till he fall. That's what's going on with Little. He's having fun and they're excited. And they look at Alabama. They're looking at each other. They're looking around. No confidence at all. They don't have confidence at all. And that's a problem. And if I'm Kalen DeBoer, man, all of the nice answers in press conferences, I'm not buying it no more. You know, and so you got to look at it. And if that defense don't get tougher and don't get better, they're going to lose five games. That effort that they put on the field, because Florida State's not great. Alabama made them look great. Okay, and that starts with Kalen DeBoer, and it starts with that defensive coordinator, Kane Womack. And if he don't get some changes or find guys in there that's going to play tough, play with some authority and confidence, get them out of there. That's what he has to do. And if he can't get it done, find somebody else. That's where Kalen DeBoer and this Alabama football team is right now. I think, you know, week one and week two, you know, we're not going to know anything different next week. They're playing Louisiana Monroe. Will we know anything a little bit more when it comes to Wisconsin? Maybe. But maybe till they get to Georgia, then we'll really know who we're dealing with. So they got time to work and get better. And let's hope we see that better is quick. It's got to be an urgency, man. There's an urgency in Tuscaloosa. And so that's all, man. And Ty Simpson wasn't the problem. Ty Simpson is good enough. With Jeremy Bernard, Ryan Williams, and they got some good backs. I think the offensive line, especially that first drive, shown that they can be bully boys. They can play a brand of football. You mentioned 55 yards, and then that went out the door. But you get behind, and you start playing catch-up. Then the offensive coordinator throws out scraps to the game plan, and then he's throwing the ball all over the yard, which is always a problem, right? Now you're talking about taking advantage of the weakness of Alabama's offensive line. That's called pass protection. They're not great at that. So, you know, that's what happened in the game. It was embarrassing. I could not even watch the fourth quarter. It's just like, man, I thought they would be better. What I saw this offseason, and man, was I wrong. I eat my crow today, because that's the worst, when I say the absolute worst defensive performance that I've seen from Alabama in a long time. And so that's the problem. That's the problem. What are you going to do? What will Kalen DeBoer do? Will there be changes personnel-wise? And then down the road, the next game or two, we'll see what happens defensively. But, man, it's got to get better. But I just don't think they have great talent in the front seven. I don't even think they're top 10 in the conference when it comes to defense. I think they might be near the bottom. Because that defense, and when I tell you, dude, it was terrible, Christian. I mean, it was terrible.
No, I said it before you got on here. I watched it about three times.
It's throw up terrible. That's how it was, throw up disgusting terrible.
Well, I mean, it's a problem because, again, it wasn't just like one facet, right? Like, oh, you know, we struggled on the run, or, you know, we got out. No, it was, you know, the scheme was a problem. Lack of physicality was a problem. Lack of execution was a problem. Guys loafing was a problem. Like, I mean, they're just like no pass rush. I mean, no, like tough. There wasn't really anything really bright about the performance. So, no, I understand. And that's why I was obviously really upset about it. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. You mentioned it, what needs to be done. And I agree 100%. Urgency, man. There's got to be a sense of urgency in that locker room. Top to bottom. Coaches, players, players, coaches. To get things fixed, right? And like you said, some of it is correctable, right? We'll continue talking about that, but some of it, man, is you just don't know. I mean, you can't really train toughness. I mean, you can train mental toughness, I guess, but if a guy's soft, a guy's soft. We talked about that. I mean,
I know how to toughen them up. Here's what you got to do.
Take the money.
There we go. Put some stipulation in their NIL deals. It should be performance-based. Right. When we're in the NFL, you get all them incentives. It was an incentive-based contract, especially when you're young. If you prove yourself, you go make your cheese. If you don't prove yourself, you lose cheese. It's just as simple as that. So if they come up with some kind of thing, listen, bro, how you grade out? How you playing? Is your play worth $100,000 a year? Is that right there we just saw? I don't know if they get paid on deep, but is that worth what they getting? No. What you need to do is take your Louis Vuitton bag and your Gucci bag back and go get you a Tumi bag or go get Nike bag. That's free. that crap, y'all walking around and down there at the end of the game, and I saw that the AD, he looked disgusted. Like, all this money, all they getting in ride of these nice $80,000 when they get. You know what? I would have the tow truck. At the stadium parking lot, the way they played. Tow them cars back to the dealership and give them jokers a Pinto. They play like they need a Pinto.
They don't know what a Chevrolet Pinto is. That's too old school.
I mean, you know, go give them something. I mean, something to get them to and fro, because all this 89,000 they riding, ramp, ramp, flying up down the road. had a tow truck down there, lock them cars up and take them back to the dealership. Because you get with you play. That's the way I would do it.
That's hilarious. Oh, man. All right, we got to hit this timeout. We come back and keep on rolling again during the breaks. We'll
visit Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid 293. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer. We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
Results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon, the sky partially sunny. A few spots could see a shower through the evening hours. The high today, 86. Tonight's low, 66. Tomorrow, warm again, a mixture of clouds and sunshine with scattered showers around. The high, 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. I told you guys, if you're looking for an official breakdown, right, really diving into X's and O's, what transpired in the game, good or bad, right, hopefully next week it's a very, very much more positive breakdown that we have. This is the place, the Miller's Edge right here, Tide 100.9, via radio. Again, we are live via radio, but also on the stream if you guys want to actually see the clips at the Miller's Edge on YouTube as well. Again, we will be doing this every Monday, breaking down what happened in the game, giving our thoughts first, and then going to the tape. That way we can show you guys, right? Sometimes it's a little bit easier to show you than to tell you, and that's what we're doing right now. That being said, Kane Womack did speak to the media, and I know a lot of people are really, really curious to see what he had to say after his performance. Again, 230 yards rushing, obviously not great, right? So what we're going to do is let's jump over to that real quick because I want to get that in here. I'm really curious. I know you guys are too. So let's hear what defensive coordinator Kane Womack had to say addressing the media about 20 minutes ago today.
We played the game the other day. I thought in the midst of adversity, we played hesitant, which is not the identity of this defense. I think we've got a group of young men that take a lot of pride in the way they play, the effort that they play with, and I thought we played too much on our heels on the road with adversity. As a coaching staff, we have to do a better job on the road of creating a sideline environment to make sure our guys are ready to go respond. That starts with me and our coaches and making sure that our players know how to respond in the moment of adversity. But I've got great confidence in our players. I think the level of ownership that I've seen from our guys has been really strong the last 48 hours here. And I think we're ready to go put a product on the field on Saturday that our fans, this university can be very proud of. And so looking forward to doing that this week.
Right, Coach Starr, before I arrive with Nick.
Yeah, the lack of physicality that popped up a few times, how will that be addressed moving forward?
I think you know, sometimes, one of our keys to victory, right, was that when you're playing a team that moves laterally in a one-plus quarterback system, there has to be elements of being patient to let the ball declare. But once the ball declares, one of our keys to victory was to finish with violence and aggressiveness on the ball. I thought we let some of the things that they did put us on our heels, and we didn't respond well enough when adversity hit. And so those things, you know, you can tell them. Sometimes you have to be shown. And I think once our players were shown, I think they're ready to respond.
Far left, Chase.
FSU was able to get a lot of running yards on the perimeter outside. When it comes to that, is the issue more about the forced defender not getting contained, or is it more about the help being late or something else?
Yeah, ours was there were leveraging issues in terms of our guys like being decisive and getting off of blocks. I thought we were timid on getting off of blocks, and so we allowed people to get the edge on us too often. And that's something that I thought our block destruction has been something that we have really emphasized and done a good job in the all season. And that wasn't nearly the standard. So really excited to get that fixed this week.
All right, Charlie.
Kind of going back to what Nick was talking about, what did you think of the effort that you saw, especially from the linebackers make the safety group?
I thought we played timid. I thought we let adversity put us on our heels, and we played hesitant at times because of that. And that was, I think, striking for all of us because that's not the idea of our defense. It's never been who we are. That's not who these players are. And I think they are very much looking forward to showing that next Saturday.
Let's go in the middle on the left side there.
I counted 23 players who took snaps on defense in that game. Can you just talk me through the process of that many guys rotating in on a close game?
Yeah, I think, there's going to be moments. We did have some bangs and bruises, right? But we did have some guys that we felt like had earned an opportunity to go out there on the field. Game one, you want to make sure you give people opportunities to do that. And then based off of the body of work and what they do on the field on game day, we'll reflect some of the rep base that you see moving forward. I don't think you have to make big sweeping changes. There was enough blame to go around, even from some of our best players. And so you want to give people an opportunity to get things corrected. But certainly the body of work on the field will dictate like rep base moving forward this season.
Front row, Kenny.
It's kind of a multi-part question. Last week, there was a lot of conversation about the newness of Florida State coordinator and personnel. When you went back and watched, how much of what they did didn't show up on film in your preparation? How did the defense respond in those moments? And then kind of how do you build on that as the season goes on?
No, we were not surprised by anything. We were prepared for a number of things that they were doing, including some of the trick plays and a number of the run game things. We did not play to the level that we are capable of as a defense. And so we've got to own that. As a coaching staff, we got to own that as players, which I think we are. But I have great confidence in our guys that they will get that correct and quickly.
Go to Katie on the left side here.
They only dropped back to pass 14 times, they probably dropped back more than that. He ran some, but what does the defensive line need to do to generate more pressure?
Well, I think, I think there's times when in the second half, I tried to call more pressure to generate a little bit more pressure on the quarterback. We were able to do that a little bit more effective. One time on a third down, we had a free runner. We let the quarterback out of the pocket, and then we had a late hit out of bounds as he was going out on a critical third and five where we had a chance to get off the field. And then another time we were getting ready, we had put ourselves in position to get them to a third and 11, and then we had a late hit on the quarterback as well. And so you want to affect the quarterback, but you have to know when, and you got to have the maturity and understanding of when to do that and when not to do that. And I think both those guys took ownership of it, and I think they'll get those things corrected moving forward. But certainly from a pressure standpoint, that's something that, I've got to make sure that we can affect quarterbacks better than what we did Saturday.
Colin, front left.
Sort of in the same vein, it seems like mobile quarterbacks have kind of affected your defense dating back to last year a little bit too. Kind of what's the plan moving forward in terms of, I guess, containing when they get outside to kind of contain their ability to scramble, to rush, things like that?
Yeah, I think there's a pattern right now of when teams are moving laterally in the 1+ quarterback system. We saw it against Vanderbilt last year. We saw it in the first half against Oklahoma, and then it showed up this week. I thought, those are things that you have to look at, and you got to go, we had a good week of preparation, but we weren't able to execute well enough on game day. So now schematically, what do I need to do to make sure I give our players the best chance to be successful based upon
the body of work that we've put on the field. And so we're looking to address those issues.
Back right, Matt.
Do you think all the issues are fixable, or is some of it just waiting such a time to deal with at this point?
Yeah, 100%. Those things will get fixed, and look forward to seeing our guys do it on Saturday.
Go right next to Matt. Let's go to Blake right here. You good? Okay. Let's go to the left side. Let's go to EG right here in the front.
Coach, what would you attribute that hesitancy to? Was it schematically, fundamentally, and how do you make sure that doesn't happen again when more adversity is faced?
Well, I think, again, that goes into the pattern of us on the road as a football team. You know, I think about the two games and a half that we, defensively have played timid and on our heels. And those are situations where on the road, we've got to make sure that that we protect our sideline. I talk about it all the time. The sideline is a living, breathing organism that you've got to make sure you're doing your job to feed that the right way. And so, you know, even as a coaching staff, we got to make sure that we're challenging ourselves. There's so many things now with the iPads that you're making checks and adjustments and corrections. But let's make sure that we're also keep the main thing. The main thing is a coaching staff, right? That we are making sure our players are ready to physically, mentally go out on the field and go play in an attacking mindset. And that's something that we didn't do a good enough job as a coaching staff.
We've got two more questions. Let's start with Hunter for our left side.
You mentioned there was a strong level of ownership over the last 48 hours. Who specifically on the defense kind of led that charge besides maybe like Deontay or Keenan?
Every player on our defense right now.
Finish up with Mike on the backgrounds.
On the topic of the effort, just how much are you evaluating that within the game, and would there be a scenario where if you saw a guy not going full speed, that you would take him out of the game? And then along those same lines, just for guys coming back from injury like D-Law and Sab, how much is that affecting their ability to go full speed?
Yeah, I think some of those things, we have guys that play with great effort. They play with great enthusiasm and energy, and that did not show up on Saturday. But I'm not going to, we're going to allow our players to get it fixed. And so certainly there was enough blame to go around. You can point to every position on the field, right, that had issues in terms of not executing the level they're capable of and not playing with the passion and energy and effort that we have established here as a defense already. And so those are things that we're going to allow guys to get fixed, but certainly a body of work as you look into the season, right, a rep base is going to be, based upon what you do on the field from an execution standpoint. But I don't think there's a guy on our defense that doesn't take ownership of what happened. That starts with me, it ends with our players. And I think everybody's ready to go establish that in the defense that we're capable of playing moving forward on Saturday.
So that was Alabama defensive coordinator Kane Womack addressing the media.
That's trash.
Let me start from initially. He said a couple of things. Like I told you guys after watching the tape, he mentioned it, too many guys soft getting off blocks. That, and I told you guys, it stood out. You know, like I'm just watching guys just catching blocks, especially in the secondary. They're just catching like – the way Coach Saban's teach us, and I know that people are sick of me always bringing it, but I'm just going off of my experience. Like just because you're a corner, like you might be smaller and you're expected to come address stuff physically in the run game. That's why, like, you know, Marlon, those guys coming down, Ronnie Harrison is a safety. Like that's how we attack the run. Like our secondary guys weren't just these cute, you know what I'm saying? Trying to be cute and covered, you know what I'm saying? Like just trying to get picks and stuff. Like, no, like when they ran the football, it was time to get active. And you just weren't seeing that. And then look at this. I pulled this up just from the tape, right? Like, watch this play real quick. So, like, even from, like, a linebacker play, right? Same thing you get, jet motion, which we talked about. Going to get plenty of that. Addressed it on the show. I know he just mentioned, like, yeah, we were telling them to play patient and read and react. But, listen, when you see that the quarterback has declared he's keeping the football, right? Number one, 11. I mean, you literally are on your tiptoes, brother. Pad level, man. Anyway. Like, you see the linebackers? So see how they're just waiting? At least Justin's trying to kind of find something. But, like, Deontay right here, like, what do you think about this? Again, I'm not picking on Deontay. I love him, man. Great dude. But, like, as a linebacker, you can't just – like, he's just floating. Like, you see this? Like, maybe initially, right? Boom. As soon as you see him, he keeps the football. Go. Look what he does. What is he waiting on? You see You see what I'm saying? Like I'm just like, what is it? Like, I don't understand like what I'm looking at. I've never seen guys play like that.
Honestly. I do. I understand that he need to have his in on the bench. Mm. You know, that's the bottom line. He's not playing good enough football. And he might have a younger guy that's better. At least he's going to give effort. At least he'll stick his head in there and go blow something up. But that catch and that softness from a little 5'9" quarterback is ridiculous. Listen, that whole press conference was trash to me. The only thing I liked about it, he took somewhat of responsibility, him and his coaching staff. But other than that, you know, we can't wait to see. Don't nobody care. What you going to show? What are you going to show next week? That you can run up and beat down Louisiana Monroe, who's you playing a 9A high school football team? Here, slow clap. There you go. What you going to show? Nothing. Nobody expected. Who cares? What we care about is what are you going to look like when you go face them dogs, when you go down between the hedges in Athens, Georgia, once again, where 88,000 people yelling against you and all the stuff you talking about being on the road and sidelines. And no. That's what we're looking at. I'm giving you 2 weeks. And if this right here is the case against Georgia, then I am screaming from the top of the roof, bro. New coach from the defensive side. If this right here, I give you 2 weeks. You may have a pitcher shutout next week against Louisville. Good. I don't care about that. You may give up 300 yards against Wisconsin. I don't care about that because you should. That's expected. What I care about is what you're going to do against Georgia. That, to me, is what we judge Alabama football by, not against Louisiana Monroe, not against Wisconsin. Alabama is judged against the best in the country, and Georgia, the Bulldogs, Kirby Smart, that is one which we're going to say, okay, have you gotten better or are you still the same or are you worse? So I'm giving them 2 weeks to fix whatever they said they need to fix. And these guys care, and they got a lot of passionate guys. Well, they showed it and go. You must have left them in Tuscaloosa riding them nice cars. Because I didn't see any. Look at this. I mean, they tear whoop everywhere from the front to the back.
Like, see that. And I know he probably, you know, was playing a receiver at first, but still, but like, and that's a big dude. I'll give him, I'll say this. I mean, that's a 6'6, 230 pound receiver, but still, like, there's just no attacking it. You know what I'm saying? You're just letting him manhandle you. Red Morgan's angle is completely. Terrible. I mean, like, where are you? Like, you have a clean. He could have cleaned this dude's clock. What angle are you taking? And then again, I mean, people have seen this clip. Like, come on, Bray, man. Like, you can't have that, man. You can't have that. You can't.
What you need to do is get him back on the phone and call Bray back and say, "Bro,
no, chill."
No, I mean, I think it's cool to get him on the phone and say, "Man, this is not who y'all are." As a former player, I would go down there. Believe me, I would tell South Carolina, if I was like, "Man, come on, bro. This is not. If you lose, don't lose with your tail between your legs. Don't lose with you getting your tail knocked all over the field, getting dumped. Nah, man. That's embarrassing. That is not why you sit there doing TikToks and videos with all your nice Gucci. See, that's the thing about this money thing. Nobody ain't going to say anything if you're out here balling out. Nobody cares. They want you to get more money. But if you get money, you get nice cars, and then you put this display on the field, people are going to have a whole lot to say. And I got a hold, because I want them to get paid. But I don't want you to get paid not nearing cents, as they said, Paisley. Not nearing cents. Because right here, you should be paying Alabama money. For letting them, I mean, y'all owe Alabama money. This is ridiculous, bro. I'll tell you, look at this. Look at this. I mean, I wish people on the air could see this. Like, if I had a fan room, I would go, look.
Well, no, I'm going back to talk about this last year. Eye discipline, like, just watch 16. I mean, dude, you just were staring at this dude. How are you still, like, this is not registered. It's a reverse. I mean, the dude, you still are running ahead. And then you take.
I can't even watch some more of this. This is ridiculous. I mean, you know, I don't want to. Listen, man, Listen, you don't have 11 more guys on all them stars. Y'all got stars, more stars than's in the sky. Bama have more stars in their locker room that's in the clouds, in the sky. And this is what you get? Look, I mean, look, there we go. Come on, Bray. Come on. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's cool. I'm good with you. I'm with your boy. We ace boom coom, however. But when you put this on tape and you talking about the league or the next 2 and 3 years, all this stuff, they be, let me tell you what you're going to be doing in the next 2 or 3 years.
All right, easy. All right, easy.
You're going to be bagging groceries. You're going to be sitting there. Stop, you're going to be paper or plastic. You're going to be sitting there. You want the armor off. That's what you're going to, this is right, right, right here. That's what you're going to be doing. This is ridiculous, man.
Dude, stop. Stop. They're going to take
it. I ain't talking about them no more. I can't even talk about them. That right there, I wish I was in town. I'm telling you, they would have to probably call the police on me. Because I would tell you, you get $10, $11 million a year to put this product on the field?
Dude, stop.
They would
stop.
Have to call the police on me.
They're going to take my damn credentials.
That's ridiculous. I quit.
Chase, send it to break. Please send it to break.
I got groceries coming. I'll see y'all. Let me have a day off. It's just Wednesday, oh, Labor Day. I guess they don't know about Labor Day. That means work, labor. That means effort. Dude, I wonder, do they got the day off? Did they get the day off after this? Get some rest? Come on, man. This right here, bro. Man, Alabama is laughable. That's a shame. They're laughable right now. That's laughable. I'm sorry.
Christian said, no, it needs to be said. Trust me. I'm not saying it's not right. I'm not saying he's wrong, guys. You got to understand, man.
If you'd have been playing, you know.
No, that's one thing. I'm with you. I would own it. I'm just saying.
And I said, man, Christian, bring your tail back home. Won't you go down here to Allen University and play? Because that right there, that's the man. That's terrible. I'm sorry. I got groceries coming up. I'm going to let you take it on in. I got to go get it, though.
All right, good deal. Yeah, please, we got to hit a timeout. Right. Getting a little out of here. Appreciate you, man. I'm sure everybody else appreciates it. That's a great laugh, man. Thank you. And great insight. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We get ready to wrap things up. I might try to squeeze you guys. Hey, listen, if you guys are on the phone line, I apologize, but obviously, you know, there's been so much to address. So that's wise. I promise we never want to leave you hanging. But, you know, tomorrow's a Talking Tuesday. So don't worry. Talking Tuesday tomorrow, y'all got the whole damn show, the whole 2 hours if you want it. But we had to address some stuff. I had to let the pastor give his sermon because obviously he had to get some stuff off his chest. That's why we went with this setup, and we had to hear from Coach Wami. So quick timeout. We'll see what we can do wrapping things up right on the Miller's Edge. Title 9.9, 12:30. WTV.
Online today. Tuscaloosa Dodge, Mazda, and Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Three great dealerships. One promise. Your car your way. In Tuscaloosa today.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama.
We are here.
Treating patients from every generation.
Across the United States.
And from around the world.
We're here for the rookies.
And the dreamers.
Trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers.
Who are resilient.
And won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches.
Athletic trainers and mentors.
Who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you.
Aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support expert. So again, we're looking at a whole number of different things, right? And we're going through this tape. We really only looked at defense. Maybe we'll try to, you know, bring some light to the offense here. But obviously, you know, defense needed to be addressed first and foremost. And again, if you guys appreciate and like these breakdowns, you're into this kind of stuff, make sure you guys hit that like button, subscribe, all that stuff. Again, we are live on radio and love bringing all of our, you know, our information and stuff there as well, clearly. But this does allow us to bring up, you know, video and picture and all that good stuff. But just, yeah, check us out on everything at the Miller's Edge on all platforms, Tide 100.9. Make sure you download that app. That way, when we're not on the stream, you can always catch the shows as well. All right, this was another point because we had a super chat here from Arthur. He says, Christian Zwamik's defensive scheme, coaching, evaluation, talent, putting players in the right position, is that why our defense looks like it does? Well, I think it's a number of things, but again, as a player, I'm just going to point that out first and foremost, man. You got to be accountable. The lack of effort and toughness, man, those players got to take a good hard look in the mirror and figure out who they want to be, right? I mean, like, do you want to continue to put this tape out there, and which is embarrassing, or do you want to make a change? So that's first and foremost. But two, when you look at this scheme, this is a quick note to all the people that make these comments about, oh, well, it's a 3-3-5, oh, it's a 4-2-5, oh, we can't do anything. Chase, I want you to look at the screen real quick and count what you see right here, right? How many guys do you see right here? So you see 1, 2, 3 defensive linemen, and I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4 linebackers. Oh, what is that called, Chase? That's called a 3-4. So for all the people that were making comments saying, oh, it's a 4-2-5, blaming everything just on that, because, again, they're regurgitating what they read and see in tweets and in articles written by people that don't know what they're talking about. That's a 3-4 defense that they're lined up in right now. So what I'm getting at is it's not just like, oh, he brought a 4-2-5 here, that's why we can't stop the run. That's false. And I've been saying that for 2 years now since he first got here. They can line up just like Florida State. They base out of a 3-3-5, but they show 4-2-5 looks. They show some 3-4 looks. Nowadays, defenses are multiples. I've even seen former players saying this, like, same thing. And I'm just like, come on, man. Like, you played the game, bro. Like, you should know better than this, right? So what I'm getting at is they're showing flexibility. They show some 3-4 looks. Why? Well, you have 12 personnel. What does that mean? First number is the number of backs. So there's one running back and there's two tight ends, right? It's called YY wing slot. Right? YY wing, because you got two Ys up there, right? And one's in a wing look, and then you got a slot at the bottom to the field. So long story short, they're matching personnel. 3-4, that's good for 12 personnel. You want bigger guys out there. So to answer your question, Arthur, I just wanted to point that out because that's been driving me nuts that people just, all they heard, oh, 4-2-5, 3-3-5, you can't stop the run like that, even though Florida State's defense ran a 3-3-5 last year and was like top 15 in the nation stopping the run. It's all about being multiple and having flexibility, which you see us doing right here. That being said, I think it's really a number of things. I think really what stood out Saturday was just a lack of effort and toughness, lack of physicality. I thought we had too many guys catching, playing soft, not being aggressive, getting off of blocks, not attacking blocks. I just showed you, I mean, from the secondary guys, I just showed you clips of linebackers just kind of hopping and floating and just waiting for other people to go make plays instead of addressing it, going and just playing smash mouth football and just crashing in there. And really, then schematically, I think there's just sometimes, man, we're whether it's the guys not executing the call or sometimes we're just in situations that just don't make sense. Like I pointed out that one clip where, I mean, you're playing a dual threat quarterback and you've got literally the lightest guy rushing was like 275 pounds. And then you bring Deontay just shooting as a daylight rusher. Like, to me, that's just not smart going against a quarterback with this type of athleticism. So to answer your question, man, I think a number of things need to be addressed, right? I think the players need to hold themselves accountable for their effort and physicality. And the coaches have to do a better job putting them in better positions and coach them up to play, to do things better, right? Like, there's base rules, right? So some of it's on the players, right? Some of it is the players not executing and not executing. Others is, like he said, he tried to get more aggressive in the second half. But that's the thing. When we talked about not having, you know, true pass rushers that you can really rely on, him as a coach, he has to find ways to generate pressure. If you know, all right, we don't have any real edge guys that we confidently feel can go out there and win one-on-ones, you got to dial pressure up another way. And you can't wait so long to try to do it, and then, like, you know what I mean, like I told you, they try to do it, they bring a corner element of surprise, then boom, Gus hit us with the wheel route and it went for like 50-60 yards, man. Like, I think it's really a number of things that need to be addressed, but really the most, again, scheme stuff and you know, putting guys in position, that's correctable. Effort and physicality, it technically is correctable, but that worries me a lot more than some of the other stuff, I'm being completely honest with you. But thank you again, Arthur, for that super chat and good question. All right, Chase. So we, it's time to get out of here already. So here's the thing. We're not going to have time to do any calls, unfortunately. But again, I promise you guys, make sure tomorrow, Talking Tuesday, we'll go phone calls pretty much the whole way. We'll continue taking a little bit of a look at this. I know you guys are probably sick of it, but we might take a look at the offense because we didn't do that at all today. And then we will flush it, I promise. But I'm going to let you guys at least get everything off y'all's chest first, since we took the time to do that, me and my dad breaking everything down. I know you guys still want to do that on the show, so be ready to do that tomorrow. For all our new folks here on the YouTube channel, make sure you come back again tomorrow, 11 to 1. We'll be right here doing the same thing. Subscribe, like the video, all that good stuff. And real quick, let me remind you, Friday, we do plan on being at 1225. Again, we do the show live, 1225 on the Strip. Check us out in Tuscaloosa. Get game day weekend started the right way. We'll be doing this all right there, where you can also enjoy good food, good drinks. That's why they say where fun, food, and drinks collide right there, man. All types of TVs, over 30 of them all throughout the venue, man. It's a great spot to go hang out, watch games, and just have a great time. Get your game day weekend started the right way with us, man. You can come hang out with me, and it'll be a great time. So make sure you check that out. Plus, shout out to our friends over at R&R Cigars. Again, rnrcigars.com, code MillersEdge. It gets you 20% off all your orders. Make sure you guys check them out there. 2703 Gary Fitz Street here. They got the big mansion. Great place to go watch football games, whatever you got. They've got TVs throughout. The best humidor in the Southeast if you're a cigar smoker like my dad. Over 160 bourbons to try as well, man. You can't beat it. R&R Cigars, man. The big old mansion. Great fellowship, man. It's a great place to be. So make sure you guys check them out as well. All right, we got to get out of here. Appreciate everybody. Hope you guys are ready to do it all again in 22 hours right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. See you guys then.